This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So we'll continue inshallah with our program talking about the power of voluntary prayers. And as I said before after Isha that we will talk about Sunnah al-Wudu and Salat al-Haja. So I want you tonight to pay attention to the proofs that are used to confirm the sunnah of wudu and the other proofs about Salat al-Hajah and how the scholars accept some ahadith, they don't accept other ahadith, and that why sometimes they said this sunnah is confirmed, well confirmed, on a solid ground, the other method and the other prayer is not well confirmed. It is accepted by some scholars, but it is rejected by some other scholars. So this is a good example how scholars use these ahadith and these proofs from the Sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or from the Quran, right? When we talk about Quran, is always, you know, confirmed, but the meaning, the interpretation could vary from one school of thought to another. When we talk about the ayah, verse from the Quran. The same applies to the ahadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but there is something extra with the ahadith, something, another level of, you know, verification, which is the hadith itself sahih or not? Is it fabricated? Is it da'if, very weak? Weak, very weak. So here, that's another issue with the ahadith. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used some great scholars to sort out the ahadith, to work on the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they did a great job telling us these ahadith are authentic, these ones are not authentic, this one are controversial. So alhamdulillah, most of the ahadith that are used in fiqh, we got some knowledge about their status or about the discussion that the ulama had about. So we're starting with sunnah of ablution, sunnah al-wudu. And the first hadith here about sunnah al-wudu, it is a confirmed sunnah to begin with. It is a confirmed sunnah. It's like tahiyyat al-masjid, well confirmed. Not highly recommended, but it is a confirmed sunnah through the ahadith that are authentic. We start with the story of Bilal radiallahu anhu. And it is found in Bukhari and Muslim. The story of Bilal radiallahu anhu is found in Bukhari and Muslim, which means agreed upon, highest level of authenticity. Right? When the ulama looked at the different levels of ahadith, the status of different ahadith, when a hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim, that's it. You don't need to look into, you know, the status. You just accept that the hadith is sahih. So this is a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لبلال بعد صلاة الفجر يا بلال حدثني بأرجى عمل عملته في الإسلام فإني سمعت دفن عليك بين يدي في الجنة. هذا كلام الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام لبلال. فبلال أجابه قال ما عملت عملا أرجى عندي من أني لم أتطهر طهورا في ساعة من ليل أو نهار إلا صليت بذلك الطهور ما كتب لي أن أصلي. هذا حديث بلال. طبعا بلال هنا لم يذكر ركعتين أو أربعة أو ستة, وإنما قال ما كتب لي أن أصلي. So in this hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Bilal, and it was after Fajr, he had this discussion with him after Fajr prayer. Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه is the one who is narrating the story. He told him, O Bilal, tell me about a deed which you have done after becoming or since becoming a Muslim. And you believe that it will have or it will most likely bring you hope in the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you, something that you have done after you became a Muslim, and you believe as a person that this thing will most likely bring you more hope in the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something that you feel good about it. You're doing it, and you hope that this is very rewarding. So, the reason Rasulullah SAW told him this, he said, for I heard the sound of your sandals in front of me in paradise. So Rasulullah, when he went into the journey of Al-Isra al-Mi'raj, he was able to recognize, you know, maybe he was familiar with the sound of his sandals in this dunya because he was with him all the time. He was the mu'adhin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, right? Making adhan all the time in the masjid, having close relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he was familiar with the sound of his sandals. He said, I heard the sound of your sandals in front of me in paradise. So Bilal radiallahu anhu said, I do not consider any act that is more hopeful Other than that, whenever I make wudu in any hour, look, in any hour of night or day, so even during the times of prohibition, when the salat is prohibited, if he makes wudu and he wanted to pray the sunnah, sunnah wudu, he would do it. He said, in any hour of night or day. That was his statement. Except that I would immediately offer or perform what was decreed for me to pray. That was the answer of Bilal radiallahu anhu. As I said, this hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim. The ulama called this prayer the sunnah of wudu. That's the only name that they gave for this salat that Bilal used to do, the sunnah of wudu. Now, there are some ulama, I heard some ulama that Rasulullah ﷺ verbally approved what he said. And I don't know a version of this hadith, but I heard some ulama in their lecture saying that Rasulullah ﷺ verbally approved. They said, yeah, this is what made you go to Jannah, or this is what helped you to go to Jannah or earn a place in Jannah. But I don't know about this version. But even if we don't have this verbal approval, right, from Rasulullah ﷺ, the fact that he kept quiet, he didn't make any comment, this is an approval in itself, and it should be taken as a sunnah. Because approvals, his approvals, alayhi salatu wasalam, are part of the sunnah. Because if it was wrong, he would tell him, no, I don't think this sunnah would earn you a place in Jannah. Maybe you went to Jannah for something else, right? He didn't say it. He kept quiet. This is what hadith, the hadith that we have. Unless I am not aware of the other version of the hadith, wallahu ta'ala. So this is the first proof, and it is found what? In Bukhari and Muslim. So the ulama don't need to look into, you know, they don't need to verify the status of this hadith. Khalas, it is accepted, Bukhari and Muslim. Second proof, it is also found in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. But so in the first hadith, Bilal did not say, I used to concentrate in my salat, I wouldn't think about anything else. He didn't say anything. He didn't say, I would pray this salat with khushu', with full khushu'. He didn't say that. He said, I pray or I offer what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for me to pray, which means a good number of raka'at, wallahu alam. How many? Allahu alam. He didn't give us a specific number. But in this hadith, we have a specific number, which is raka'atain, the second one and the third one. About sunnat al-wudu, I have three hadiths to share with you tonight. But sunnat al-wudu, we have three hadiths. First one, Bukhari Muslim. Second one, Bukhari Muslim. And the third one in Sahih Muslim. All of them are authentic. So in the second one, this is the hadith of Uthman رضي الله عنه. He said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم performed wudu. And he washed every part of his body three times. So that's the perfect form of wudu. Like to do to wash every part three times. So, and then he said, من توضأ نحو وضوء هذا ثم قام فركع ركعتين لا يحدث فيهما نفسه. هذه زيادة هنا. لا يحدث فيهما نفسه, يعني لا يتفكر في أشياء أخرى. هذه صعبة, ولكن ممكن إنسان يحاول. هذه صعبة, ليست سهلة, أنك تصلي ركعتين ولا تفكر في تجارة ولا تفكر في الجو ولا تفكر في السياسة ولا تفكر. صعبة شوي, صعبة. قال فركع ركعتين لا يحدث فيهما نفسه غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. قال الحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني رحمة الله عليه, صاحب كتاب النخبة, نخبة الفكر, قال فيه استحباب صلاة ركعتين بعد أو عقب الوضوء, والمشروع أن تؤدى بعد الوضوء مباشرة. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said in this hadith, which is, as I said, found in Bukhari and Muslim, but this is the hadith of Uthman ibn Affan. The first one was narrated by Abu Huraira. After he completed his wudu, and he washed all his parts with every part three times, he said, whoever performs ablution the way I performed it, and offers a two-raka'ah prayer, during which he does not think of anything else. This is kind of difficult. But you can try. You can try one time in the morning or in the evening, make wudu and say, okay, tonight I'm going to pray 2 rak'ahs with full khushu'. I'm not going to think of anything. I'm just going to forget about Trump and the politics and the weather and the economy. I'm just going to forget about everything and just focus on these 2 rak'ahs. And do them quickly. Try to, you know, do them fully with full khushu'. What will happen? All your sins. He said all his past sins will be forgiven. And Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahmatullahi alayh, Amir al-Mu'mineen of al-Hadith, great scholar of Hadith, who passed away in 852 in the Hijri calendar. He said, this Hadith indicated the importance or the recommendation of 2 rak'ahs immediately after wudu is completed. Because if you delay it 1 hour, 2 hours, the ulama, they said, this is not sunnah of wudu. If you make wudu, and then after 2 hours or 3 hours, you said, okay, maybe I'll pray sunnah wudu. They said, no, it shouldn't be accepted as sunnah of wudu. But if you want to catch the reward, earn the reward of sunnah wudu, you need to do it immediately after you finish your wudu. So this is the condition. And that is the second hadith that we use tonight. The other one is another beautiful hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim. Another beautiful hadith. So all of them, as I said, authentic. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من أحد يتوضأ فيحسن الوضوء. يحسن الوضوء مثل ما توضأ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. كل عضو 3 مرات. You wash every part 3 times. فيحسن الوضوء. ويصلي ركعتين. So in this hadith, third hadith, he mentioned again 2 rak'ahs. So which means that the minimum number is 2 rak'ahs. ويصلي ركعتين. يقبل بقلبه ووجهه عليهما خشوع وتركيز. إلا وجبت له الجنة. الله أكبر. إلا وجبت له الجنة. So in this hadith, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if any Muslim performs ablution well, then stands and prays 2 rak'ahs, setting about them with his heart as well as his face. Yani he's, mashallah, trying to do them with full khushu' and full concentration. He's not turning his face around while praying. And also he's trying to focus with his intention. He's not thinking about something else. Yani, which is, as I said, difficult, but we can try. But what will be the reward? 2 rak'ahs only. What will be the reward? This is a beautiful hadith, ikhwan. At the end, Rasulullah ﷺ said, paradise is guaranteed for him. Guaranteed for him. If this hadith was not sahih, I wouldn't share it with you. But this is a beautiful reward for 2 rak'ahs. As I said, the secret here is to do them with full khushu' and concentration. Right? So the first step is to perform wudu well. The second step, you do these 2 rak'ahs with full khushu' and concentration. And then what will happen? Jannah is guaranteed. But in the hadith of Bilal, because he prayed maybe many rak'ahs, but he didn't mention khushu' or concentration. So maybe this is another way of doing sunnah al-wudu. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So the ulama said that these 2 rak'ahs are always recommended after wudu at all times, including the times of prohibition, awqat al-nahi, between asr and maghrib, between fajr and sunrise. We're not supposed to do nafila, but this has a specific reason you made wudu. So it's like tahiyyat al-masjid, coming inside the masjid during a time of prohibition between asr and maghrib. It's a time prohibition, but there is a specific reason for you. There is a good reason for you to perform 2 rak'ahs. So here, making wudu, the ulama, they said, this is a good reason for you to earn the reward of these 2 rak'ahs. So you can do it even during times of prohibition. And we had the proof of Bilal. He said, anytime. I used to do it anytime. And Rasulullah ﷺ approved it. He didn't say anything. He didn't say you shouldn't be, you have to be careful, Bilal. You're not supposed to pray between Asr and Maghrib or between Fajr and sunrise, right? Tayyib. So they are like the greeting of them, their status. The status of the sunnah is like tahiyyat al-masjid, the greeting for the masjid. The prayer that is done to greet the masjid, which means they are not sought for themselves. That means if you decide to pray another prayer, offer another prayer of sunnah al-wudu, the ulama, they said, most likely you get the reward of sunnah al-wudu. So here, when they talk about combination, here we can combine. We can combine. If you come to the masjid, you are allowed to pray another prayer. And that's it. The requirement of praying tahiyyat al-masjid is not there anymore. It's waived. You don't have to do tahiyyat al-masjid. Someone came to me after a few days ago and he said, oh, I prayed. I came late and I prayed with you guys. Do I have to make up tahiyyat al-masjid? I said, no. Because you came inside, we were praying Dhuhr or Asr or Maghrib, I think it was Maghrib, and that's enough. And for Sunnah al-Wudu, same thing. If you make wudu and you decide to pray Salat al-Duha, this will suffice. It will be sufficient for the Sunnah of wudu. You don't have to do Sunnah al-Wudu. But if you want to do Sunnah al-Wudu and pray Duha, that's fine. Your reward will be multiplied. You get the reward of two doing sunnah al-wudu, the sunnah prayer for wudu, two rak'ahs, and then another two rak'ahs or four rak'ahs for duha prayer, which is good. Yeah, more reward, more hasanat. But if you do another prayer instead of sunnah al-wudu, most likely the ulama, they said, you will be able to get the reward of sunnah al-wudu, especially if you have the sunnah al-wudu in mind. Have it in mind. After you finish your wudu, he said, maybe I don't have time, I'll just do duha, I'll just do this sunnah before dhuhr. I don't have time for sunnah al-wudu. But you have it in mind, then inshallah, you get the reward of sunnah al-wudu, wallahu ta'ala alam. So again, the conclusion is that this sunnah is confirmed through, as I said, at least three authentic ahadith. Bukhari and Muslim, and Sahih Muslim, the third one in Sahih Muslim. And the number of rak'ahs for this sunnah is two rak'ahs. The minimum number for this sunnah is to offer two rak'ahs. But if you want to offer four, six, eight, that's fine. That is your choice. And this is what Bilal used to do. Bilal did not give us a number, but that was his practice, radiyallahu anhu. We said that it has to be done immediately after wudu. Otherwise, it is not called sunnat al-wudu. It will be called nafila, just unrestricted nafila. Mutlaq al-nafila. Nafila mutlaqa. Right? Just a nafila prayer. It's not sunnat al-wudu because it's not done immediately after wudu. And we said if a person decides to pray another prayer, then he might get, inshallah, the extra reward of offering two rak'ahs for sunnat al-wudu. So this is what is about Sunnah al-Wudu. Now we talk about Salat al-Haja, the prayer of need. And the story here is different. It's a different story. But we need to focus tonight. Because there is a problem with the Salat of need, Salat al-Haja. There is a problem with it. The way it is described in some ahadith. But there is an alternative. So I want you to pay attention to this ahadith. And I pay attention to the alternative, right? The story is different. Sunnat al-Wudu, all of them are authentic ahadith. Now, Salat al-Haja was mentioned in the way it was described in some ahadith, the way the answer is given to people in some websites and some books, was mentioned in four ahadith. Two of them are fabricated. Two of them are very weak. The other two are very weak. So I need to talk about this hadith because they are on the internet. They are on social media platforms. They are found in some books. So I have to mention, we have to look into this hadith. The first fabricated hadith mentioned that the prayer of need is to be performed in 12 rak'ahs. You have a need. Sorry. You have a need. So So you need to make dua. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill your need. A family member is sick, you have a major exam, are you starting a business? Anything that you need to do. So the hadith says that you need to pray 12 rak'ahs. That's the first hadith. The other three hadiths, they mentioned two rak'ahs. One of them did not mention two rak'ahs. I don't know why the ulama they said two rak'ahs, because I didn't find the two rak'ahs in one hadith, but the dua is there. So anyway, when we say fabricated, we need to know that the one who fabricated the hadith is a liar. So the ulama of hadith call him kadhab, matruk, he was rejected. No one pays attention to his narrations. He's not qualified to be a narrator of hadith. He used to fabricate stories. And those who used to fabricate this hadith in our history, they used to do it for different goals, different purposes. Everyone has his own. Some of them used to do it for political reasons, like two groups or two states are in conflict, and then one of them will fabricate a hadith to support his party or his leader or his state against the other state, political reasons. Some of them used to do them for sectarian reasons, Shia against Sunnah, for example. Especially the Shia, they are good at fabricating a hadith about the family of the Prophet. Until now, if you listen and you understand Arabic and you listen to some lectures from Shia imams in Iraq and some countries, ya Latif, stories that they are impossible to believe, with no sanad, just stories, and people are happy and they are amazed and impressed, and it's horrible. People playing with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith mutawatir. Some of them used to do it, fabricate a hadith for to make some material, some worldly gain. Like he would be a businessman selling something. Selling chicken, for example. He would fabricate a hadith about the excellence of eating the meat of the chicken. Some of them used to do it to support their own imams. Like we had some people who fabricated a hadith about the excellence of Imam Shafi'i. Other people fabricated a hadith about the excellence and the status of Imam Abu Hanifa, and so on and so forth. Some of them had a good intention, and yet it will not be accepted from them. Their good intention, they said, we are not making lies against the Prophet. We are fabricating this ahadith to support his mission, to support his sunnah. It's a good intention, but on the day of judgment, it will not be accepted. It's a major problem. Why? Because we have this mutawatir hadith, mutawatir yani, the highest level of acceptance and authenticity. And the riwayah that I have for you from al-Bukhari, man yaqul alayya ma lam aqul. Bukhari has a complete chapter about this. من يقول علي ما لم أقل فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said in this hadith, whoever intentionally ascribes to me what I have not said, then surely let him occupy his place in Jahannam. Someone who fabricates a story about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like tonight, the matter is a little bit confusing, and I'll tell you why it's confusing for some people. I'm not confused about it, because in some stories here, the du'as are good, but the story is not true, is not authentic. The du'as are good, their meaning are okay, they are accepted. And some people said, oh, we tried this salat and it worked. Some people, this is how people are sharing this. You know, there are stories on the internet, right? So people get confused, right? So in this hadith here, the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud. So first one, an Ibn Mas'ud. The problem is the one who fabricated this hadith is attributing something to Ibn Mas'ud he didn't say. attributing to Rasulullah something that he did not say, it's a big problem, right? But the hadith looks like that. Some people will read it. عن Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu anna النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. It will come to you in this way, that a Sahabi narrated a hadith from Rasulullah ﷺ, and you don't know it's fabricated, and you share it on WhatsApp, share it on Facebook, you're happy. This is amazing hadith. It's a beautiful hadith, brother. Read it. Try to benefit from it. On Instagram, Facebook, you don't know that you're sharing a fabricated hadith. So here, أَنَّهُ قَالْ إِثْنَا تَعَشَرَ رَكْعَةُ تُصَلِّيهِنَّ مِنْ لَيْلٍ أَوْ نَهَارٍ وَتَتَشَهَدْ بَيْنَ كُلِّ رَكْعَتَيْنِ 12 rak'ahs that you pray by night or day and recite the tashahud between each two rak'ahs. So after each two rak'ahs, you make tashahud without salam. Make tashahud and then you stand up. Another two rak'ahs, make tashahud, stand up until you complete 12. And then he said, فَإِذَا تَشَهَدْتَ مِنْ آخِرِ صَلَاتِكَ فَأَثْنِي عَلَى اللَّهِ وَصَلِّ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَقْرَأْ وَأَنْتَ سَاجِدْ فَاتِحَةَ الْكِتَابِ 7 مَرَّاتٍ. أثناء السجود تقرأ الفاتحة 7 مرات. هذه عمرنا ولا سمعنا فيها يعني. ولا مرة سمعنا أنه نقرأ القرآن 7 مرات الفاتحة في السجود. وقل لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير 10 مرات في السجود. So he said when you recite tashahud at the end of the prayer, so at the end of the prayer in the last tashahud, then praise Allah, send blessings and peace upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Recite Surah Al-Fatiha 7 times in sujood, while in sujood. While in sujood, so after you make the shahud, you do sujood and you recite Surah Al-Fatiha 7 times. It's a very weird prayer. While you are in the state of sujood. And say, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir 10 times. Surah Al-Fatiha is a beautiful surah. Some people will say, okay, what's wrong with that? It's a beautiful surah. There is a big problem here because Rasulullah said, don't know how to read Quran in sujood. We'll talk about it. Right? But some people will say, oh, it's a beautiful surah, 7 times. There is nothing wrong with that. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu wa ala kulli shayin qadir. It's a great form of dhikr. What's wrong with that? Well, there is something. What is wrong with that is that Rasulullah did not say this, did not tell us, did not give this guidance to his ummah. You're lying against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said, then say, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi ma'aqid al-'izz min 'arshik. And this dua is controversial. Wa muntaha ar-rahmati min kitabik wa ismika al-a'zam wa jaddika al-a'la kalimatika at-tamma thumma sal hajatak thumma irfa' ra'sak thumma sallim yaminan wa shimalan. So he said, after you do all this, you say, oh Allah, I ask you by the glory of your throne. Here the glory of your throne is controversial. Some ulama accepted this dua, some of them did not accept this dua because they said at the end the throne is Allah's creation. We're not supposed to seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or supplicate with the glory of His throne because the throne is the creation of Allah. So we should stay away from this dua because of this problem here. The mercy of your book, by your greatest name, by your highest majesty, by your perfect words, then name your need. You name your need. Ya Allah, I'm making an exam, help me with the exam, help me with this, help me with this. And raise your head and say salam, right and left. Imam Ibn Jawzi, he said this hadith, there is no doubt that this hadith is fabricated. One of the narrators in the chain of narration is a liar or a fabricated. Dhahabi, Imam Zayla'i, all of them agreed with Imam Ibn Jawzi. All these three classical scholars, all of them said this hadith is fabricated. As I said, one of the problems in this hadith is reciting the Quran while you are in a state of sujood. 7 times, al-Fatiha. While Rasulullah ﷺ has forbidden the ummah to recite Quran in sujood. Yani we have a hadith, مثلا, a famous hadith from Ali ibn Abi Talib, in which he said, نهاني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن أقرأ راكعا أو ساجدا. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. This hadith in Sahih Muslim. In Sahih Muslim. He said, Ali ibn Abi Talib, the messenger of Allah, has forbidden me or forbade me to recite Quran while bowing or prostrating. Yani while in the state of ruku', while doing ruku' or doing sujood. Ali ibn Abi Talib, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not read Quran. How about making dua? You take a dua from the Quran and you use it in your sujood. Is that permissible or not? Naam? It's permissible, right? Do you agree with that? Because many brothers are confused about that. It is permissible. Because you're not reciting Quran. You're not reciting Quran. You are making a dua. You like this dua. You took it from the Quran. You want to use it in your sujood. That's fine. There is no problem with that. You shouldn't ask this question because your intention is not to recite the Quran. Your intention is to make dua. So then this should be accepted by idhnillah ta'ala. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال أقرب ما يكون العبد من ربه وهو ساجد فأكثر الدعاء أقرب ما يكون العبد. He said the closest or the nearest servant comes closer to his Lord is when he is prostrating, when he is in the state of sujood. فأكثر الدعاء, then increase your دعاء. That is the recommendation of our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. That's why in our salat here we try sometimes to spend some extra time in sujood. What is the purpose? Is to make some extra dua so we can benefit from our salat. Because we believe that this salat that we are doing is the best investment for our akhirah. So spend some extra seconds, minutes with your salat. Instead of doing salat al-dhuhr in 7 minutes, do it in 10 minutes. Ya akhi, 3 minutes is not going to kill you. 3 extra minutes is not going to ruin your schedule for the day. Another extra 2 minutes in Salat al-Asr is not going to, you know, affect your business or your life. I mean, we go outside and we spend hours and hours with social media, with our phones, and right? So spend some extra time while doing sujood and increase your dua. That is the recommendation of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we are not allowed, we are not allowed to make dua in ruku' while in the state of ruku'. With one exception, istighfar, there is one of the expressions of dhikr in ruku' that has a dua of istighfar. The second hadith, as I said, the hadith does not include 2 rak'ahs, but I don't know why some scholars, they said, you do it with 2 rak'ahs. But the hadith itself doesn't mention 2 rak'ahs. But it is fabricated. Again, it is fabricated. But the words of the dua are okay. Are okay. So in this hadith, this is hadith from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, جاءني جبريل عليه السلام بدعوات فقال إذا نزل بك أمر من أمر دنياك فقدمهن, يعني قدم هذه الدعوات, ثم سل حاجتك يا بديع السماوات والأرض يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. There is nothing wrong with that. يا صريخ المستصرخين يا غياث المستغيثين. It's okay to use this دعاء. يا كاشف السوء يا أرحم الراحمين يا مجيب دعوة المضطرين يا إله العالمين بك أنزل حاجتي وأنت أعلم بها فقضها. So the hadith is fabricated, right? But the dua, because we have the flexibility to use our own duas, right? That's why we are allowed to use the dua of someone else, made by someone else. But the problem is, you cannot, this is very important, you are not allowed to narrate a fabricated hadith except in one case. Except in one case. When you tell people it is fabricated. Like we are doing here tonight. Otherwise, you are not allowed to share it with other people without telling them it is a fabricated hadith. Especially if you know. If you know that it is fabricated. So this is the ruling about fabricated hadith. We have the obligation to tell people this hadith is fabricated. This story did not exist. Rasulullah ﷺ did not say this hadith. جاءني جبريل and he told me this and that and that. You are not allowed to do that except in one case, if you are willing to tell people, I want you to pay attention to this, be careful, this hadith is fabricated. In this case, yes. So in this hadith, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is how it came, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me with some du'as and supplications and said, yani Jibreel told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course he didn't tell him because the story is not true, but this is how the story is narrated. When some worldly matters before you, say these words first, then ask for what you need, O Creator of the heavens and the earth. As I said, the words of the hadith are okay. The words of the dua are okay. Not like the first one. It has some parts that are controversial. The hadith of Ibn Mas'ud. But this one, the words are okay. You can use them if you want. You will hear some imams in Salat al-Tarawih in Ramadan, in dua al-Qunut in Ramadan, using these terms. Because they believe that these terms are okay. These du'as and supplications are fine, even though the story itself is not true. So, O Creator of the heavens and the earth, there is nothing wrong with that. O Possessor of majesty and honor, it's a beautiful praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Helper of those who cry for help, O Helper of those who seek help, O Reliever of calamity, O Most Merciful of those who show mercy, O Answerer of the call of the one who is in distress, O God of the universe, to you I show my need, you know best about it, so fulfill it. So this is the story that we have in this hadith. The third hadith, I cannot say is fabricated, but it was classified as very weak. Very weak, right? Why? Because one of the narrators of the hadith, 90% of the scholars of hadith, they said he's not qualified to narrate a hadith, to be one of the narrators of the hadith. 10% of the scholars, they said, he could be fine if there is another narrator who supports his narration. So he needs someone to support his narration, right? So I don't want to mention his name because this is not a specialized class. If we're studying hadith, I would mention his name and tell you about his biography because we're not studying Mustalah al-Hadith. So there is no need to mention his name. But what is more important is to know that this hadith is very weak. And this is the most famous hadith that you find on the internet when people ask about Salat al-Hajjah. The hadith of Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa. So the Sahabi, the first Sahabi is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. We said we need to stay away from the dua because it's controversial itself. Second one, Abdullah ibn Abbas, right? We said the story is fabricated, but the words of the dua are okay, are fine. Here is very weak, and this the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa. So he said, based on what he said, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're not sure if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it or not, but this is the hadith. Man kanat lahu ila Allahi hajatun, aw ila ahadin min bani Adam, falyatawadda, falyuhsin al-wudu, thumma liyusalli rak'atayn, ثم ليثني على الله ثم ليصلي على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم ليقول لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. So basically in this hadith, supposedly, الله أعلم, Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa, Sahabi رضي الله عنه, narrated this hadith from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, if anyone, whoever has a need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or from one of his creation, let him make wudu and perform wudu very well. Then pray two rak'ahs, let him pray two rak'ahs. And then let him praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then send his blessings and peace upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Durud, salat ala Rasulullah. And then let him say, La ilaha illallah al-halimul kareem. It's a beautiful statement. La ilaha illallah al-halimul kareem. There is none worthy of worship except Allah, the forbearing, the most generous. Al-halim, the forbearing. Al-kareem, the most generous. Subhanallah, Rabbil Arshil Azim. Glory be to you, to Allah, the Lord of the Mighty Throne. Beautiful statement. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. You're familiar with it. All praise is due to Allah, Lord of the Universe. As'aluka mujibati rahmatik wa azaima maghfiratik. It's a beautiful dua that is found in other duas. I ask you for the means of your mercy and forgiveness. Beautiful statement. I ask you for the means of your mercy and forgiveness. وَالْغَنِيمَةَ مِنْ كُلِّ بِرٍّ. And I ask you the benefits of every good deed. وَالسَّلَامَةَ مِنْ كُلِّ إِثْمٍ. I ask you for safety from all sins. لَا تَدَعْ لِي ذَنْبًا إِلَّا غَفَرْتَهُ. Do not leave for me any sin except that you forgive it for me. وَلَا هَمًّا إِلَّا فَرَّجْتَهُ. And no hardship except that you relieve it for me. وَلَا حَاجَةً. حَاجَة. That's why we call it Salat al-Haja. حَاجَة is need. وَلَا حَاجَةً هِيَ لَكَ رِضًا إِلَّا قَضَيْتَهَا يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And no need that pleases you except that you fulfill it for me. يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Oh, most merciful of those who show mercy. So all the terms are good. But the hadith, by looking at the chain of transmission, is very weak. This is the number three. Number four, hadith of Anas. So four sahabis here. As I said, the most famous one, if you ask about Salat al-Haja, you'll find the hadith of Abdullah ibn Awfa that I mentioned now on the internet. But this one from Anas ibn Malik, again, another dua, long dua, after you make wudu and you pray two rak'ahs and you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You make istighfar for yourself, for the believing man and believing woman, and then you say this dua, a long dua here. There is no need to, I don't want you to, it's okay, another long dua. And then you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill your need. This hadith is very weak. The problem with this hadith, some ulama, they said it's munkar. When they say munkar, yani the chain of narration is very weak. There are narrators in the chain of narration. They are not identified. They don't know their identity. They don't know who they are. So that's why they cannot accept this hadith. Even if the dua itself is okay, is fine. Now what is the alternative? If I tell you, do not use this ahadith for Salat al-Haja. You see, you are able to recognize the difference between the ahadith of Salat al-Sunnat al-Wudu and the ahadith of Salat al-Haja. Huh? There is a big difference or not? Huh? Big difference, right? The other three ahadith, Bukhari and Muslim, Sahih Muslim, mashallah, all of them are authentic and beautiful. But these ones, big problems. So that's why some ulama, they said there is no Salat al-Haja that is prescribed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the way that is prescribed or described, I would say, described in this ahadith. We cannot confirm it based on this ahadith. Some of them, like the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa, some of them, I disagree with them, but they said the weakness is light. And we accept weak ahadith with a light weakness in fada'il al-a'mal. Fada'il al-a'mal, yani things that are not major pillars of ibadah, salat al-haja. But still, salat al-haja, you're talking about a separate ibadah here. And the hadith, the weakness of the hadith is not light. It's very weak. So that's why we shouldn't pay attention to this hadith. Especially number one, number two, they are fabricated. What is the alternative? You are a Muslim and you want to achieve something. You need help from Allah. You're dealing with an emergency. What is the alternative? The alternative, we have it. We have the alternative in the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-hadith yaqul, so, عن حذيفة بن اليمان كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا حزبه أمر صلى إذا حزبه أمر فزع إلى الصلاة. وهذا الحديث حديث حسن موجود في صحيح أبي داود وموجود في مصادر أخرى. ابن حجر العسقلاني رحمة الله عليه said حديث حسن. It is مقبول, it is sound, that whenever Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was distressed by anything, he would pray. The hadith doesn't mention a specific number of rak'ahs, does not mention a specific dua. And this is confirmed by the Quran. Surah Ayah 45 in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَةِ. Seek help through patience and salah and prayer. That was the sunnah of Rasulullah. Whenever he deals with an emergency, or he's dealing with a big problem, he would make wudu and pray, alayhi salatu wasalam, without any specific number of rak'ahs, without any specific dua, even though he, alayhi salatu wasalam, had many beautiful du'as that are found in Hisn al-Muslim, for example, or found in other sources of du'a. You can find them. Beautiful du'a, many supplications that you can use if you want to memorize them. So, but the hadith which says that Rasulullah used to seek help, he used to seek Allah's help and assistance through salah, did not mention specific du'a. That is my point here. So you can use any dua. And it will be Salat al-Haja, following the Sunnah of Rasulullah SAW. Ya Allah, I want this, I need your help with this, I need your help, your assistance regarding this. People have different issues nowadays. No one has a perfect life. We all have our own challenges and struggles. We all. Especially these days. With all this technology and money and wealth that we have, as humans we're struggling. Parents are struggling with their children. Sometimes husband and wife, they don't get along. Business is not doing well. Many issues. Some people have problems with their own parents, with siblings, with anything. Someone who is like giving them hard time at work. So it could be anything. This life will never be perfect. It's impossible. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this life. That's why you need to always empower yourself. Empower yourself through dua and supplications. You need to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through dhikr and dua. Have a close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more you get used to these du'as and supplications, they will become easy for you to remember, and you say it. You say them without, you don't have to wait and come to the masjid and raise your hand and make dua. You make dua while you're driving, we're going shopping. In a shopping center, you can make it. People are buying and selling, and you are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because you made it a habit. You build this habit. This is how you build a close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said, the three last ahadith, you can use their dua, the supplications that are there, because they are okay. But you need to keep in mind that the first two are fabricated, the second two are very weak. Now the question is that I have, what is the difference between Salat al-Istikhara and Salat al-Haja? Some people are confused about the difference between the two Salats. Salat al-Istikhara and Salat al-Haja. Can someone tell us? Tell us about the difference between the two. So the translation, Salat al-Haja, prayer of need. Salat al-Istikhara, translation in English, is the prayer for guidance, for seeking guidance and counsel. Yet it's a need, but you do Salat al-Istikhara when you are confused about a decision. You didn't recognize that this is what you want. You're not sure about it. Maybe you need it, you want to do it, but you're not sure. But Salat al-Haja, you're comfortable, you want what you are asking for, you want it, you need it. Right? That's the difference. But Salat al-Haja, as I said, through the other ahadith, is not confirmed. So whenever you are dealing with an emergency or you need something, you just pray. You don't do Salat al-Istikhara. But Salat al-Istikhara, you do it when you are confused. Should you go marry this girl or not? Should you buy this car or not? Should you take this job, accept this job or not? Should you start this business or not? Should you invest in crypto, Bitcoin and Ethereum and all the other coins and their cousins? Should you maybe need to make istikhara? Should you open an account, RSP account, with so-and-so or with this company? So, different things that you're not sure. They're good for you or not. Here you pray, Salat al-Istikhara. The second difference is Salat al-Istikhara is well confirmed through a hadith that is found in Sahih al-Bukhari. Salat al-Istikhara is well confirmed. The hadith is found in Sahih al-Bukhari. But Salat al-Hajj, the way it was described in the four hadith, is not confirmed. What is confirmed is Salah in itself, without any specific dua, without any specific number of rak'ahs. I don't want you to be confused. That's why, I will try to come up with a chart at the end of this program, whether it is next week or the week after. We still have to talk about the night prayer and Salat al-Witr. And I'll tell you about some other prayers that are not confirmed too. Salat al-Hajj, sometimes some people on the internet, they call it Salat al-Taysir. What is Taysir? Is making things easy from al-Yusr. Yusr is ease, right? So when they talk about Salat al-Taysir, they mean Salat al-Hajj. But now you have full knowledge about it, right? It's not something that is prescribed in a certain form with a certain dua. It is a salat that you do whenever you need help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's it. Following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think we should stop here, let you go and enjoy the warmth of your homes. But if you have questions, we can deal with your questions tonight for 5-10 minutes, and then we go, inshallah, go home. Tawaddah. Yeah, I don't know what are the other two options here. مثلا, either you buy or you don't buy, right? So basically it's one issue. The istikhara is about buying this car. So asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you make the right decision. Use the same dua. You know the dua, you're familiar with the dua of istikhara? Yeah, it's found in Sahih al-Bukhari, it's found in Sahih in Hisn al-Muslim, widely available. You can, even if you don't memorize it, you can print it out and you recite it, right? But here is one thing. Telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you know that, you know, me buying this car is something good for me, then help me with it and make it easy for me. But if you know that this car is not good for me, then keep me away from it. Basically, it's one thing. Right? So you are not sure. You want to make a decision, the right decision about this car, especially if it is used. You don't know what is in it. If it is new, maybe if you have money, the decision will be easier, right? The new car. But if it is used, you don't know what is inside. Even if you take it to a mechanic, you will never be sure 100%. So istikhara would be good in this case. Yes, تفضلوا يا إخوان. تفضل. Pardon? Sinful? No, it's not sinful. Which one, مثلا? Give me an example. Yeah, so you will not be sinful for missing Sunnah al-Mu'akkada, the Ratiba of al-Dhuhr, the Ratiba prayer that you do before Dhuhr. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he missed it before Salat al-Dhuhr, he would do it after Dhuhr. So he would pray 6 rak'ahs after Dhuhr. The 2 ba'diyya after Dhuhr, and the other 4, which he was supposed to do before Dhuhr. If he missed them before Dhuhr, he would do them after Dhuhr. Right? So you always have time, you know, to make up those sunan. But if you miss them on purpose, you will not be sinful. Because what is obligatory upon you is the 5 daily prayers. We have proof for that. We mentioned the proof in the beginning, the first halaqa, I guess, right? Some of them said, if you insist on missing, some young people, by the way, there are young people, one of I would say some of our young people, I wouldn't say all of them, some of our young people on purpose did not pray sunnah prayer. So some ulama, they said they could be blamed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for missing his sunnah on purpose on the Day of Judgment. Blamed, but they will not be punished for it because it was not an obligation. Some of them went too far. They said, if someone insists on missing the sunnah al-mu'akkada, he's a Muslim fasiq. Yani, it will affect his status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a very strong term. A very strong term, right? These statements are not confirmed by all the ulama. Because if something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make it mandatory, why you would be blamed by missing something that is not mandatory? But they said a good Muslim would not do it. A good Muslim would always try to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through these voluntary prayers. And by the way, if you have some problems with the obligatory prayers, then this ratiba prayer will fix your problems, shortcomings on the Day of Judgment. It will protect actually your salat on the Day of Judgment. And of course, for every sajda, mashallah, your ranking is raised by 1 degree, and one sin is erased for you. So, mashallah, the rewards are amazing. The rewards are amazing. Tafaddal, you want to say something? Making sujood, making dua in a different language in your sujood. The opinion that I believe, that I follow, that it is permissible. This is the opinion that I share with people. The reason, because there are two opinions. The reason I believe this should be the most correct opinion. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all the languages. Number two, not all prophets and messengers used to speak Arabic language. We have only 4 prophets who used to speak the Arabic language. So all the other prophets and messengers used to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a different language. But Allah told us about their story in the Quran, quoting their du'as and supplications in Arabic. But they used to, many of them, communicate with Allah in different languages. And number three could be, is not fair for someone who does not speak the Arabic to tell him it's haram to make sujood, to make dua in sujood. I mean, if we have a proof that it's haram, yeah, of course, we have to follow it. But these are matters of ijtihad, ulama trying to reach a conclusion about it using their own, ijtihad. So it's not fair for someone who doesn't speak Arabic, you tell him, oh, you're not allowed to use another language. How about if he has something, he wants to express himself, he wants to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't know any Arabic dua for that, for his own situation, right? That fits with his own situation. So we tell him, alhamdulillah, there is no problem with that. You can use another language, whether in faridah or nafilah. So some people are confused. Should we use another language in faridah or nafilah? In both prayers, inshallah, your dua will be accepted bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. You're talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows all the languages. But of course, after you say subhana rabbi al-a'la, and you use the prescribed words of dhikr in your sujood or ruku'. Ruku', of course, we are not supposed to do dua. Na'am. Tafaddal ya Sheikh. Yeah, you can combine it.
Can we combine with the rawatib?
Yeah, yani if you make wudu, like in the wudu area, you come inside the masjid before dhuhr. You're supposed to do 4 rak'ahs before dhuhr, right? Let's say you decide to ignore sunnat al-wudu and you do the ratiba. Most likely you get the reward of sunnat al-wudu because you don't have to do it now. Because you're doing a prayer. It's the same ruling regarding tahiyyat al-masjid. You are allowed to pray the 4 rak'ahs before dhuhr and that's it. But if you want to do extra prayers, like let's say you do sunnat wudu. Of course, here I'm not sure if you do sunnat tahiyyat al-masjid, you are supposed to do sunnat wudu after that. I'm not sure about it. This mas'ala, I'm not sure about it. But let's say you decide to do sunnat al-wudu and then the 4 rak'ahs. That's fine.
you get the rewards of 6 rak'ahs. The sunnah al-wudu and the 4 rak'ahs before dhuhr. Right? So when the ulama talk about combination or combining between two intentions, this is what they mean. They talk about this prayer, these kind of prayers. Wallahu a'lam. Sisters, you don't have question, right? They understand everything. Tafaddal. After he made wudu?
Yeah.
I didn't say 2 rak'ahs. He said, I prayed whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for me to pray.
Yeah.
So he didn't mention a specific number. It could be 4, could be 6, could be 8. But he said at all times. It's not sinful. Because it has a specific reason, which is wudu. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approved it, he didn't say anything. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approved something, that means it's halal, it's permissible. Is that clear? If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approves it, that means it is good to do, right? Okay. Tafaddal. We'll finish at 9. Tafaddal. To pass it with the condition that you tell them it's fabricated.
But why would you even pass it to somebody if you know that it's a fabricated?
Some people pass this. They share this hadith to make fun of them, like the story is funny or weird. Some of them, when we study, sometimes, you know, if we have a specialized class about a hadith, for example, so we need to give examples. Yeah, this is Salat al-Hajjah, مثلاً. I needed to talk about this hadith. Why? Because I'm sure that people have access to this kind of stories and a hadith online. So I needed to say, like, these ahadith are fabricated. And alhamdulillah, I'm relieved from any responsibility now, because I told you that they are fabricated. But the problem is when you keep quiet about their status, that's a problem. The problem, I'll tell you the problem. The problem is sometimes the story is amazing, beautiful, something like that. So people, they said, don't tell me it's fabricated. I want to share it. Because they feel the story is beautiful. It's so beautiful. So they want to share it. It is a big problem. Yeah. There is another hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I am not mistaken, he said, anyone who shares a lie against me while knowing that it is a lie, فَإِنَّهُ أَحَدُ الْكَاذِبِينَ, he would be one of the liars, one of those who fabricated stories against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a very dangerous, subject. People have to be careful. طيب. We're done. Jazakumullah khair. Inshallah, we meet next week in bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. And most likely we'll talk about night prayer and witr next week bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. If we have more time, we'll talk about some other prayers like Salat al-Tasabih and maybe some other prayers. Inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Bas'Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yaftaha lana wa lakum abwaba rahmatih. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك